I think of New Year's resolution, I got to look at this one. Calvin says, resolutions, me? Just what are you implying, that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way I am. That's Calvin talking to Tiger there. Hobbs. Okay. Well, anyway, Happy New Year. Okay, 2017, Happy New Year. Is it? Happy New Year. Okay. All right. Just checking. Incidentally, Charlie Brown asks, what is happiness? You know, what is it? Well, Lucy looks at him and says, I'm not sure what happiness means, but I look in your eyes and I know that it isn't there. But then Linus cheers him up and says, happiness is singing in the choir. Hey, boys and girls, are you happy? Was that okay? Thank you for doing that. And happiness is singing in the choir. Well, there's other definitions. You know, this was Buddha's thinking. Happiness does not depend on what you have or who you are. It solely relies on what you think. There's some truth there. Happiness comes from within and is found in the present moment and by making peace with the past and looking forward to the future. I think there's some truth in there, too. But what's happiness to you? Okay. You answered yourself, all right? Okay. World Happiness Report comes out every year. It started in 2012. And these are some very serious scientists, sociologists, anthropologists, psychologists, whatever you want to call them, people who study people. And they come out with this report. It's based on 38 factors. You can Google World Happiness Report, and you can download the whole shebang. And it's pages after pages of data. But just to let us know, who are the top 10 happy places in the world to live? Number one is, of course, Denmark. And number two, of course, Switzerland. Three, Iceland. Four, Norway. Boy, it's cold. It's just cold, but it's happy. Five, Finland. Hey, is there any warm place there? Canada? No, it's all cold. Hey, but I am a little envious. Some of my friends are going to fit in this, and I don't. Okay, seven, Netherlands. All cold places. New Zealand, well, it gets a little cold. Australia. Hey, guys, how about that? And number 10, Sweden, excuse me. Did I go back? And I got to go through them all. Okay, here we go. Doom, 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 doom. Sweden. And, kind of happy place. Well, Sweden is in there. Okay, guys, we know it's number 10. So tell the Zirkle box that. Okay. Kind of happy places. You know, not very, very happy, but kind of. Is the USA 13? Yay, USA. All right. 22 is Singapore. I haven't seen, where's Hong Kong? Okay. 23 is the UK. Yeah. 58, South Korea. Where's Hong Kong? 75. Hey, not bad, huh? We're 75. There's only 157 countries. We're in the top third, maybe. China, 83. South Africa, 116. India, 118. And then we got Syria toward the bottom, and the very last one is Burundi. Kind of happy places. Well, Walt Whitman said happiness, he doesn't want happiness not far for another place, but this place. Not for another hour, but this hour. And that's what I want to do, is preach you a happy sermon. Okay? And this is called a happy sermon. But I'm totally 100% plagiarizing this sermon. I want you to know up front, okay? Because it started with the greatest preacher, and that's Jesus the Christ. He preached a sermon on the Sermon on the Mount. You can read it, boys and girls. It's three chapters long. It's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we're going to look at these first little bit of Matthew 5. You've got that insert in your bulletin, and it starts out the Sermon on the Mount. He says, seeing the crowds, so he looked out and he saw the crowds. We got a pretty good crowd here today. Thank you, Lord. He went up on the mountain. He had a huge crowd. thousands of people. So there's a lot of people. So he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. So maybe, 12 guys, they come and they sit down. And Jesus is there with the 12 right in front of him, and then all the crowds are out there too. And he opened his mouth. Now that's an strange way to say it. And he said to them, no, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, that means he's opened his mouth. He's got a, good morning, everyone. I want to tell you what happiness is all about. You ready? So he opened his mouth. That's what we mean. He had everybody there. We kind of think of Jesus. You see these pictures. He's sitting there on the rock, just kind of whispering away. No, he probably was belting it out. So he had to open his mouth, and he told them what? He said, this is his sermon. Blessed. Now, I'm going to use the word. The scripture doesn't use the word happy so much, but sometimes when you read newer translations, they will use the word happy instead of blessed in this passage. Now we know happiness. I can be happy. Why? Because Chelsea won last night, 4-2. But you ask me, James, are you happy with your life? Now, that's something different. And that's what we're getting at. What is the blessed life? What is the life that makes you and I satisfied? That is the happiness that we're talking about. And Jesus says, hey, you want to know who's the real happy people? They're the ones who are the meek. They're the peacemakers. They're the poor in the spirit. Those are the ones who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those who are persecuted. And those who mourn. Can you imagine a little church in Kuntong? I don't know if it's the big Baptist church there in Kuntong. As they think of this sister who passed, many years ago, when Bonnie and I had the privilege to work in a squatter hut community in Sao Malping, not too far from where this fire occurred, but a little bit more up on the hill, I witnessed fire too. And the fire was so powerful, it destroyed everything. There were 8 people killed in this particular fire, but I can remember seeing these little children's booties. It's kind of like they were flame resistant. That picture will always be in my mind. But blessed are those who mourn. And some of you know what that means. Today, January the 1st, 2017. You could mourn over a death of a loved one. You could be mourning over, you name different things, a loss. Blessed are the poor in spirit, says the Lord Jesus. Happy are these guys, poor in spirit. Now, he doesn't say happy are the poor people, all right? Don't ever get that poor people are so much more happy. I wish I was poor so I could be happy, all right? They're not. This is the poor in spirit. We're not talking about people who are having an emotionally bad day who are down. No, we're talking about people who are asking this very simple question. Is this all there is? You can be a very, very wealthy person and still be very poor in spirit. And vice versa, you could be very poor economically and be full. And not so poor. But poor in the spirit is mean there's got to be something more to life than just going to work, raising a family, and then dying. There is. Of course. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. We talked about that already. Blessed are the meek. Meek. Now, what do you think of meek? M-E-E-K. Okay, boys and girls, this is a very hard topic. Now, who is the clever one around you? Who knows what the word meek means? I need a boy or girl. I can look at you. Anybody want to try it? Sam, what's meek? When you're weak? Meekness is weak. Not necessarily, but oftentimes we think of that. Weakness means meek. Moses was a meek man. Our Lord Jesus is meek. Meek and lowly. But doesn't necessarily mean weak. What does it mean? Humble. That's a good one. That's a good one. You got anything to add, Addie? You got it? Okay. So that's what we're getting at. This humbleness, this lowly position. Government rulers can be meek. Do you know of any? I remember when I first came to Hong Kong, and yeah, that's when we were working up in the squatter huts too. I can remember we had a governor named Sir Edward Ude. How many of you old Hong Kong? How many people are old timers? You remember Sir Edward Ude? Do you remember he was a governor? And I kind of liked that guy, but I didn't know him that well. I was new to Hong Kong, and I thought, man, a governor from UK ruling Hong Kong, this is strange. And yet he seemed to be humble. But I had the same opinion when Tung Chee Hwa was appointed as our first chief executive officer. These are men of power, but they seem to be humble in the way they approach life, a meek person. Blessed are the meek. If you can go to the people who don't show off, or perhaps people who have a humble station in life, like the person who had a bad foot and was a cleaner. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. And then blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. I got to admit, this holiday season was full of delicious food and drink. I'm not hungry. I'm not thirsty. I'm really seriously thinking about it. I need to fast a couple days. But we're talking about something inward, boys and girls. We're talking about I want to really be the person who obeys mom and dad. I really want to be the person who gives it their best at school. I want to be the person who doesn't complain. I want to really be righteous. I want to do what's right. I want to be a shining light for Jesus. I want to get up every day in this new year of 2017 and open the Bible and hear God speak to me and then go out and be his witness in the work and where I play and where I live. I want to be free from my own sin and evil desires, my pleasure idols, my material idols, and my reputation idols. I want to be free of all that. Are you hungry out there, gang? I see some adults' eyes acting like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Hungry for true holiness and righteousness and perfection. Blessed are those type of people. And blessed are the merciful. Okay, you stole my pen. I recognize it. That's my pencil. I left it on my desk. Were you going to give it back to me? Yeah, here it is. Okay, now I'm going to go tell the teacher. Well, you might have to tell the teacher sometimes, but you know what you can do? You can say, I forgive you. Oh, whose pen you got there? That's yours, okay. All right. Merciful. And remember when we pray that prayer and we say, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. It's always good, you know, give us this, our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If you want to have an emotionally stable life, look to God for provision, and secondly, look to him for forgiveness and extend forgiveness. Basically, most of our problems is we're not forgiving people. But this says, blessed are the merciful, those who show mercy. Blessed are the merciful. Did anyone read The Living Life this past week, Psalm 41? It talks about mercy and showing mercy. And David was so grateful for the mercy God had shown on him and even looked at this mercy as being forgiveness of sin, which drove him to health, got him off his sickbed. It's an interesting psalm. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Pure in heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you see, your delight is in God who created earth. Your delight is in doing what He has ordered and made you to be. And when you delight in those things, then you're going to ask, you know, I'm not going to be asking for a Rolex. No, I'm going to be asking for a brother sent me. I want more love, faith, and hope in my life in 2017. I want to be a person who goes to the Word daily and who goes to prayer first and who witnesses for Christ by his life and words. Pure in heart. Yeah, this is pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Well, it's people who seek reconciliation when they see things going amiss in the family. There are people who try to seek peace in the world. Right now, we're having some arguments among the UN towards Israel, and Palestine is always involved. These three entities, and how does the U.S. fit in all that? There's some people trying to work towards peace. There's the whole question of the Syrian conflict. How can this be overcome? There's that type of peacemakers. But the peace that you and I are, we are ambassadors for Christ. And it's like God making his appeal through us, and we are shouting out to DB, and we're shouting out to Hong Kong. We're shouting out to all those countries of happiness and all those countries of no happiness. We're shouting out to them, be friends with God through Christ Jesus. The evangelist is a peacemaker. You ever think of yourself as a peacemaker? Many people are not friends of God. And we assume that God has to be friends with everybody. No, he doesn't. He's only friends with those who have put their faith in Christ. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account, righteousness' sake, in my account, are those who suffer because they have identified with the Christ. They love him so much, and they talk and speak of his words, and they seek to make disciples of all nations, and they're killed. And they're persecuted, and they're talked about evilly. Blessed are you when you're persecuted. This is a happy sermon. Is everybody happy now? You're trying to wonder, man, how do I fit in all this, right? Well, let's ask this question. Where's the happiness in being poor in spirit, meek, merciful, pure in heart? And what possible good awaits a person who mourns, hungers for righteousness, makes peace with others, but suffers persecution? This is where we get to the list. For ours is the kingdom of heaven. We shall be comforted, and we will inherit the earth. I felt like I've been undone with my family inheritance, and I've told you this story. I won't repeat it, but I feel like I've nothing to do with my mom or dad. It was something else. But I think I was gypped out of some inheritance. Is it any of you ever felt that way? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Oh, I saw a hand go up. It's my own family. Okay, but you're going to inherit the earth. Now, Bill Gates does own a lot of stuff, and Mark Zuckerberg has a lot of stuff, and all these other billionaires have a lot of stuff, but they don't have the whole earth. Now this isn't made for one individual, but this is all of us in Christ. Who are these people shall inherit the earth. Those who are hungry and thirsty, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to find complete righteousness. We can understand it. We can experience a bit here, but in the future, it's coming. And we're going to receive this great mercy. You know, mercy is basically not getting what you deserve. You know, not getting the bad stuff you deserve. All right? And we'll see God, and we'll be called sons of God. Now, some version read children of God. That's great. That's great. I see Tom Young and Esther's children. I see Russ and Amy's child, and Sarah and Ian's child. And there's David with his dad. You know, you belong to the families, Addie. You know what family you belong to there, and the Wong kids. We have our families, right? But we're going to be called sons of God. Now, it's an interesting word in the Greek. It's used for inheritance purposes. Help me out here. Have they changed the law now that if you're a lady in Hong Kong and you're a original resident of farmland, you can inherit that now? Or is it just the men? For years, it was just men, but I think they recently changed that law in the last 2 or 3 years. But what we're getting at is an ancient law, only a son could inherit. And it's one of these beautiful things of old Greek language, that particular word used. But it does mean boys and girls, okay? Children of God. You're going to inherit. You got a sure inheritance. The reason I'm talking about this, as we're told in verse 12, is to rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. Assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Now, some of you are feeling very poor in spirit today. But it's not just an emotional bad day I'm talking about. I think you're just really asking yourself, where have I got myself in life? What's it all about? Some of you are really mourning a loss of a job, perhaps, a loss of a family member, a loss of a relationship. Perhaps divorce is on the horizon. I don't know. You're going to be comforted. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Those of us who feel like I'm so on the bottom rung here, you know, I'm not the pastor of a mega church that's changing the world like Tim Keller. Poor little James. But sometimes I do wonder, Lord, have I given it the best shot in making disciples in DB? Rejoice and be glad, James, for your reward is great in heaven. Rejoice and be glad, you fill in your name. Why don't we just say this to ourselves? Okay, now, we're going to do this together, all right? Rejoice and be glad, James, that's what I'm going to say. But you're going to say, rejoice and be glad, Maddie. And you're going to say, rejoice and be glad, Isabella, or Isabel, Izzy. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? You got to talk some stuff. You got to do some soul talking sometimes, and I think that's what we're going to do right now. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Rejoice and be glad, James, for your reward is great in heaven. Did you get that? Did you say that to yourself? Okay. There's no need to repeat it, is there? All right. Okay, Happy New Year. All right, we're a blessed people. We're a happy people. Why? Because we know what's coming. We've got this faith on what's coming. And even though life is really, really tough, and we can feel and we can see that we are not as holy as we want to be, we're not as pure in heart as we want to be, we're not as meek as we want to be, we're not as merciful as we want to be, but you know what? This is the best part. I like this. And I'm going to take this from another guy who liked to preach, and his name was Paul. And when he was in Rome, or with his letter to Rome, he said, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Yeah. I got to admit, when I read that story that Pete was referring to, Dr. Peter was referring to, I didn't know that the lady was a Christian. But I certainly wasn't moved with compassion towards her. I didn't even think about I did think a little bit about the squatter hut fires I'd witnessed. But you know, my insensitivity is covered by the blood of Christ. My saying things, getting angry, is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. My coveting more money, my lustful eyes, is covered by the blood of Christ. I am forgiven. The Lord will never count these sins against me. I am saved through faith in Christ alone, by grace alone, and for His glory alone. And boys and girls, this is what we do on the first month, the first Sunday of the month, is we celebrate this by eating the bread and drinking from the cup. Because it reminds us again, where does it all start? Because He first loved me. Now by His grace and indwelling Holy Spirit, I live for Him. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. His body given for me. His blood shed for me. I'm no longer my own. I live for Him. Now I hope everyone here in this building or in the family of God, and you can say, yes, I'm a child of God. But just in case you're not, and you've been thinking about who is this Christ, I want you to ask yourself, are you really a happy person? Have you found life satisfaction? Do you love other people? Do you love God? If you want to change, all you got to do is just say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, I don't know what's going on, but in 2017, I want to know You more. You just pray that, and He will meet you, and He will show you Himself. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for every brother and sister, every man and woman, boy and girl that have come to church today. And as we sang, every day, every step we take, we need to do it with You, Lord, in order to really experience Your happiness, Your blessedness. And sometimes it means not feeling good. It's not like fun, but it's life with You, the blessed and truly happy life. Lord, we thank You. You've given us a way to remember You, to celebrate You and Your love for us, and to remind us, don't start trusting our works, and not to forget the great cost, Your life on the cross for us. We thank You for that exchange life. You who are totally pure in heart, humble and meek. You who have the heavens and the earth, they're all into Your control, and You who give them to those who trust in You. We thank You, and we celebrate Your life and the life to come in You. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if I could invite the elders to come down. I see Norm up there, and there's Pete, myself. Let's see. Tom, would you mind serving today? Help out? Tom's a former elder, and ask him to help out. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. The Corinthians had a problem, and they thought that some of them were better than the others, and they didn't care for each other. That's explained more fully in the passages of chapters 11 and 12. But there's several ways we could take of this table in an unworthy manner. Jesus plus something, plus Buddha, plus my good works. Jesus plus something. That doesn't work. The other way is to have sin in your heart that you know about, that you haven't talked to Jesus about. Don't do that. Let's talk to him right now. If there's something you need to say to Jesus, say, I'm sorry, forgive me, because I thought something, I said something, I did something. Whatever it might be, you fill in the blank in your heart, in your prayer, and remember the promise that he who confesses his sin, I will cleanse, I will forgive you, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The Christian life is simply a life of continuing repentance and believing. When you sin, run to Jesus, confess, pray. Breathe in deeply that forgiveness and go forward. But let's not take it in an unworthy manner, like we have no sin in us, Jesus. No, if there's sin that's unconfessed, let's confess it up, and then we'll open the table up and we'll celebrate and remember our Christ. Let's pray.